Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Always honored to throw on one of the all-time greats. We love him. He's been good to us over the years. He's joined us a lot. And that is the man with well over 600 wins, three Big Ten Coach of the Year awards. He's got a championship. I think seven Final Fours, I want to say. He is, and he really one of the great guys in college basketball. Tom Izzo, Coach, welcome back, buddy. How you feeling? What's going on, man? Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It's been a bizarre 4 months, hasn't it?
Oh, God.
You know, all I've been doing is, I've been in quarantine. I've been sitting there riding my Peloton, working out, and the only guy that's unhappy is my wife's boyfriend, because I'll probably lift 10
Have you been been healthy, Coach, and all your players, have they all been healthy throughout this?
You know, it's been amazing because we just brought back 130 athletes. We have football, women's basketball, men's basketball, and volleyball. We just brought them back 2 days ago and tested them all. And we had one, and it was a guy they knew was coming in. So all of mine guys were good, and one player tested. I really thought there could be 20, 25, you know, just because there's no testing, and a lot of these young kids are – they're out like it's nothing, you know. So I was, pleased. I mean, it was, I don't know what that means now. As you probably saw, football and basketball, we're not allowed to touch them until July 20th. But at least the guys have a place to work out. Strength coach can beat up on them a little bit. I think these guys have been home. They're kind of hungry to get back and just work out, you know, just get in the gym and work out. And so they don't need us. I mean, especially in our sport, football, I feel bad. You know, we got a new coach, Mel Tucker, and poor guy was here a month.
Yeah.
And the pandemic hits. He was just starting to learn his players' names, and now they're just getting back together. That's a little tough if you're trying to put in a football system.
Yeah.
But he'll get the job done, I'm sure.
Yeah. What did you think about the departure of Mark D'Antonio? Best way to put it. It seemed abrupt from the outside. What was your take on it?
You know, I spent a lot of time with Mark. Him and I are, you know, he was here when he came in with Nick Saban's staff, and Nick and I became head coaches at the same time. So known Mark a long time. And, you know, it was one of those things, you know, he had that slight heart attack a few years ago after the Notre Dame game. And then, I think his wife just kind of decided their kids were gone. You know, it was a time to start living. And, it was a little bit of weird timing, but he had been thinking about it. We've had some changes here, new AD, and there was no negative with that. But I think he really battled with it, guys. And, didn't have the greatest year and didn't want to go out that way. But, as it turned out, it might have been the perfect time to go out with all the things that are going on now. And he still lives a block away from me on one side, and Mel moved in a block away from me on the other. So I'm still in football haven in my neighborhood.
Yeah, you are. Nice. You know, it's funny because you mentioned Nick Saban. I know, and obviously you always supported Coach D'Antonio, and you love football, doing the football drills, which you can't quite do the way you used to, but we know you love football.
No, it's illegal now.
I hear you.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, he loved that stuff.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So but were you tight with Nick? Too. Because Nick's kind of a tough guy. You either like Nick or you don't. Did you like Nick Saban?
I loved him. He was we came as assistants together in '87. I was a GA before that. But Nick and I came at the same time, and in fact, Nick helped me. We adopted a little guy in 2000, and Nick had a lot to do with it. It was a private adoption in Virginia, and Nick's kids had come from there, along with a lot of football players, I think 22 in the NFL. And anyway, so Nick helped me adopt my son. So, yeah, we've been close, and I went down for his daughter's wedding a couple of years ago. But I do like Nick. You know, he's different than people would think. I mean, he's got the gruff side, but, you know, he loved all sports. He supported everybody. Him and I, boy, we recruited really well together. And my star player, Mateen Cleaves, would have probably played some football if he didn't get hurt. And
what position? Running back? Defensive back? Where would he play?
He would have been a defensive back. He played quarterback and D-back in high school, and then got in that accident when he visited Michigan and kind of screwed up his back. Otherwise, I think he definitely would have played. And so we recruited a couple of them. Matt Trannan was a kid that we recruited together, and then Nick left. But, you know, Matt started on a Final Four team with me. He was a receiver. So, it's been all good.
Yeah. Okay. You know, let's get to basketball a little bit. We don't know what the season's going to look
like. We're
ruining
a good summer day. What do you
I know, right? But, you know, not just some speculative things. I'm sure you have no idea what the NCAA is going to decide, or the conference, or your university coach are going to decide. But, you know, when it comes back, we know that the threat of COVID-19 is going to still be there. I'm not saying you're old, but you're not on the young side any longer. Are you worried about I say that with all respect, Coach. You know that.
I just told you. You know that the difference is that I do really believe in guys, whether you're 50, 60, or 70. You know, I think a lot of this, as you find out, is the underlying health issues. That's why I worked my butt off the last 4 months. And you know, and I'm happier. As I said, my wife's boyfriend's not, but it's hopefully if anything does happen, I get it, I'm going to blow it off like the flu and move forward. But it is a scary problem. I'm not trying to blow that off, but I don't want to live to die. I don't want to live to worry about everything. I'm going to take care of myself, do the things I got to do.
So you could do.
I think everybody should, but you hit the nail on the head. You know, it's not only the NCAA, it's not only the university. I've had a lot of Zoom calls with my guys' parents, you know, because everybody looks at it a little differently.
That's
and then
right.
Each state, the national government's one way, each state is another way. So there's a lot of different things that we have to deal with before we get on the field. And I'm hoping football leads the way.
So that's the great Tom Izzo, 25 years with the Spartans, Hall of Famer, national champion, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. The thing about one of the many things about you that I know your players love is that, you know, there's a connection that goes beyond just player coach. You are and the great ones do this, Tom, and I'm not placating you, but you do this really well. The great ones connect to the soul, and the soul doesn't know color. The soul doesn't know, you know, economic upbringing. You connect to people, man. And I don't think this is incredibly unique for you. I want to get to the race stuff, what's going on in our country now, because I feel like you've always been good about this and open with your players and have always let them express themselves. So I don't think that you need to change much. But has it felt a little different talking to the players this time than maybe incidents in the past or no?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I had a meeting with my players yesterday because they came back. They got tested. And we're not allowed to meet with them, but I had one of those outdoor, I stood on my balcony and they social distance apart because I just thought it was something I want to welcome them back. But I really did feel I had to talk about it. And, you know, one of the things I talked about, guys, and I really think as a white coach in a predominantly black sport, I think it's guys like me that are going to be important. You know, it's hard to trumpet your own horn. So I think we've got to do some of the trumpeting here. And, you know, when I look back, I mean, I can't say when it all happened with Colin Kaepernick that I agreed with it. I can't say I did. I did a lot of military stuff. But like a lot of people, semi-uneducated, you know. And so what I did is I thought back to my assistant, Mike Garland. I went to school with my buddy Mariucci, at Northern Michigan, and when we were in college and high school, you know, that was the early 70s, and, you know, after after Woodstock and all, I'm dating myself, but, and so I went back.
You smoke any weed at Woodstock, Coach?
Yeah, no, I didn't go to it, but, but you know what's funny, guys? I made my assistant, secretary go back and find some pictures, and I wanted to show my team that, you know, back then, there were all the hippies, a lot of white people, boy, a lot of white people burning flags every day.
I know. Them.
And I said, who do I have the right? You know, here's a healthy protest that taking a knee. And I guess you could say, I think they're all our people because you're right. What I've done a lot in the last month was I call my guys like Steve Smith and Magic and Mateen, and you know, I try to get help from all eras, Gregory Kelser, all different eras of our university, and get some feedback from guys to help. So that was my way to say to them, you know, sometimes we're all uneducated, maybe educated on the situations. And so I think it's been good for me. I mean, I hate to see it at costing someone their lives, and I think it's ridiculous that what's gone on, but I think I'm going to be a better coach and a better guy, and I think I'm going to really work on connecting even harder, because the goal's got to be let's not be Italian American or Jewish American or Afro American. Let's be American.
Yeah,
and that's going to be my battle cry.
Yeah, that's right. Best way to coach and love your kids is to know your kids. And on this Juneteenth,
no,
you can do that. Let me ask you, Coach. Do you think that you, as a coach, but also as a university, you know, representative, you think you're going to see some of these protests happen on the college level, like we saw on the National Football League level?
I do. I do. I think, you know, it's ironic because Michigan State was the university, you know, back when Bear Bryant, we had a guy, Duffy Doherty, and they were good friends. And when Alabama could not take black athletes there, they sent the Bubba Smiths and all those guys. So we were, you know, a pretty good fixture in the race situation way back. And so I think there will be. And, you know, the only thing I hope still, and like I said, I understand why. I hope they're peaceful protests. I've seen Detroit, you know, I was in like junior high school when they burned down that city in 67, 8, 9, whenever. And
yeah.
I mean, there's still remnants of it 50 years later.
Yep.
And yet, it's like I told my guys, it's like telling a kid to go to class. You know, you tell them once, tell them twice, three times, four times. I mean, everybody gets 100 chances no matter what people think. But sooner or later, it's, listen, you SOB, are you going to class or there's going to be some problems?
Yeah.
Well, I look at 400 years of something and, you know, try it one way, try it another way, you know, and I don't condone it, but I start to appreciate and understand that, you know, maybe we got to be listening better. And I'll tell you what's been good for me, guys, and I bet you guys too, is when you watch the peaceful protests that are out there right now, there's a lot of white people marching.
That's right.
And a lot of Hispanic people, and I've never seen our country in some ways more united. And hopefully that's going to be something we really build on.
That's what I actually wanted to follow up on that. That's Tom Izzo with us here, great Hall of Fame coach on Tiki and Tierney. You know, I think you would agree with this, but I certainly want to hear it in your words. I know the answer is yes, but it seems like the white athlete now in 2020 and a couple of years before that, and hopefully moving forward. I just feel like, Tom, that the white athlete now knows that there's not only a responsibility to help facilitate change, but to acknowledge, you know, things of the past and to serve as a liaison to a bridge to a better tomorrow. Whereas, and this is not a knock on the white players from the 70s or the 80s or the 90s, but I can't imagine, I know there's examples, but I can't imagine in large part the white player from previous generations felt the responsibility of the white player today. Do you feel that with your white players?
I do.
Yep.
I really do, and I talk to them. I feel even stronger, better to be the white coach myself. And if I'm a leader, I've got to be the one that that steps up too. And that's what I'm, you know, I told my guys, you know, the goals are the same, you know. The goals are to win a national championship. The goals are to graduate guys. The goals are to get them to the NBA. And now the goal is to be, you know, maybe one of the key teams. Because, you know, and Tiki, I think you would agree, man, that locker rooms, especially in pro sports, because locker rooms in colleges, you know, most kids are 18 to 22. But in pro sports, now you can have a 22-year-old and a 41-year-old, you know.
Yeah.
Completely different. You can have white and black. You can have
European
guys. Even in football, there's some. And it's a melting pot, and great teams find a way to put everybody together in that locker room. I think our country could learn from a locker room, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
and
especially professional locker rooms.
I'm taking.
Yeah, especially professional locker rooms because they've been vetted, right?
No question.
You've been vetted.
No question.
Coach, it's always a pleasure. It's a privilege. It's an honor. You just
you guys are fun.
Thank you, man. You're one of the guys, one of the guys.
Yeah, that's all I want to be, is one of the guys, and hopefully a guy to help make some changes. And I think everybody would agree that it feels different,
yeah,
at least from what I've looked at. But I would also agree that it's still going to take day to day and a lot of years to try to you never make up for it.
Yeah.
I think what we got to do is make sure the future was a lot brighter in that respect than the past, because I don't think you ever make up for stuff that lasts that long. But we're going to talk during the year, guys. Hopefully we're playing. Hopefully we're playing a little football first so I can get my fix, and then basketball starts. And let's just hope we all keep moving forward. You guys make sure you stay healthy. I'll do the same. And I look forward to talking to you.
Coach, just one promise. Make sure you're having the same conversation with your kids a year from now and 5 years from now.
You know what?
And then we'll be moving forward.
That, I think, is the key. And, you know, and that's what I told them. I want them to post me up every week. You know, right now I'm in a weekly thing where I'm going to have a different little film session. You're going to be on X's and O's. It's going to be on some of these things. And so Juneteenth, I love it, you know. And here's another place I wasn't as educated as I should be, and yet I watched a lot on it today. And I will, from now on, be a bigger part of it. So growing too, guys. I'm not old to grow.
That's
maybe
awesome.
Too old to worry about the corona, but not too old to grow.
Listen, Tom, we got to go, but this is a message from you know, from one of the titans of your industry. This is a really important message. This is a great interview. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Appreciate you, Coach.
Thanks,
good luck,
guys. Appreciate you, guys.
You
got it, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.